Good afternoon. This is Brian Papstein. Welcome to KINS Radio's presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series to help you get to know the views and opinions of the candidates for the office that they're seeking. In this segment, we'll be hearing from Mark Lovelace, candidate and incumbent. I've been working on the word incumbent. Got it clean both times.
That's a dirty word with some people.
Yeah. For the 3rd District Supervisorial seat. Each segment of our Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Hey, Mark, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
Want to make an opening statement for
sure.
Those who may have missed all those award-winning talk shops over the last period of time.
Well, since as a candidate, I haven't been able to do talk shops, so appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk with folks. I am Mark Lovelace. I'm the 3rd District Supervisor and just finishing up my first term, and I'm really proud of the work that I've been able to accomplish over the last 4 years. I helped to get a second broadband line into Humboldt County, which was something that all of our schools, businesses, hospitals, and all of us needed. I've helped businesses like Cypress Grove Dairy be able to grow and expand, creating new jobs, help save jobs in our timber and fishing industries, help save childcare for 80 kids through setting up an innovative bridge loan program. We launched a prescription drug discount program that's been saving folks 60% or more on the cost of their prescription medications. Expanded public transit, improved service at our airport, and have promoted port development to our senators, the Secretary of Transportation, and to all of the California's coastal counties. And along that way, you know, we've done all of that in a time of declining budgets, when we've managed to protect public safety against drastic cuts. And that's helped us to keep our deputies on the street so they can protect our neighborhoods. And on that point, I'm proud to announce today that I've received the endorsement of the Humboldt Deputy Sheriff's Organization for the second time running, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. Along the way, I've also helped community members with a lot of neighborhood issues, including permits, tax assessments, public safety issues, traffic, potholes, road maintenance, and so much more. The job is really 24/7, and the work never stops. So I'm asking the voters for their vote again so that they can send me back to keep working hard on their behalf, and would appreciate the opportunity to continue to do that.
So that the work doesn't ever stop happening.
Well, you know, you got to be a glutton to want this job. I tell you, we're talking about our smartphones. Before I went on the air, I use my alarm on my phone, and when it goes off in the morning, within seconds of waking up, I'm checking email. And last thing before I set it down at night, I'm checking email. And every waking hour, minute between, if I'm not specifically spending quality time with my family, I'm working on behalf of the people of Humboldt County.
Let's start with our first area of questions, Mark. The drug culture in Humboldt County has influenced and changed Humboldt County's culture at all levels. What comments do you have regarding this part of the economic and social fabric of our area?
And this is a huge topic, and I don't think anyone knows that better than I do, because I've worked on behalf of the Board of Supervisors as part of our medical marijuana subcommittee. I started an organization at the state level with the State Association of Counties, their medical marijuana working group, to be able to investigate all the different aspects of this issue. And I've taken this issue directly to the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney to try to get them to help us with this rather than getting in the way of our efforts. On this issue, you know, as local governments, we have a responsibility. We're sworn to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the state of California, and Proposition 215 is one of those laws. And so we don't have an ability to say whether we believe in medical marijuana, support it or against it, whatever. That's not the issue for us. Our job, we're tasked with providing safe access for people who have a doctor's recommendation while protecting public health and safety and trying to reduce the harm that's being done out there in our communities. And it's huge. You know, the harm that's being done is huge. Unfortunately, we're tasked with doing this without any assistance from the state or the federal governments, and they're at complete odds in terms of what we can or can't do, along with the courts that, you know, randomly throw in a curveball to us and send us off on some different trajectory. So if you'd asked me this question last August, I would have laid out for you the four pieces that we had in the works that we were going to be able to address: the grow house issue and really tighten that up, dispensaries, again, being able to tighten that up to make sure that, you know, we're citing them in ways that isn't going to cause harm to our neighborhoods, dealing with the huge impact of commercial growing out in our watersheds and in our forest lands and other places, and then being able to move forward towards preparing for eventual legalization to where we can try to track the sales and try to track the money for all of the reasons for doing that. We just had a presentation today from our Child Support Services officer who was commenting about how they have, you know, they're trying to get child support from folks that they know have tons and tons of cash in their pocket, but they show up as having no visible income. And so there's so many reasons why we need to daylight this industry and get that money to where we can see the money that's being made. It's a huge part of our economy. We know that $1 in $4 comes into our economy through the black market, and we need to be able to make sure that those people are paying their fair share for the county, and that they're not causing the kind of harm that we know is going on out there.
The black market, I'm sure you've seen, well, I know you've seen Jennifer's presentation, and I think a number of folks in the area have, and I think that's probably a common place for all the candidates to bounce off of that. If 25% of Humboldt County at a conservative level is marijuana-related, legalization, if possible, or cracking down on it would certainly have negative impacts on the remaining legal portions of the county. So if that happened, what would you see would be the ripples through the rest of the county?
Well, I disagree that it would have a negative impact on the I can't remember what you said, the legal part of
the economics. Because the price would come down so far.
Well, what I think is going to happen if it's legalized or if we're able to get more effective regulation, which is going to require cooperation from the state and the federal government. But at some point, what we're talking about is saying you either want to be a good player, you either want to be a good citizen, a good member of our community, or you don't. And if you don't, good riddance. I'm fine seeing those folks that want to abuse, you know, Proposition 215 was the Compassionate Use Act. And people are abusing our compassion dramatically. And so, you know, if they don't first and foremost want to be good members of our community, I'm fine with them leaving and going someplace else where they can grow with less regulation or whatever and not have to worry about, you know, the harm that they're doing to our communities. So we want to find a way that we can support those people that do want to be good players, that aren't just out to make a fast buck and are, you know, that don't want to cause harm to their neighbors, to our watersheds, and our economy.
You mentioned an awful lot about the medicinal marijuana, and I think that's probably where most people go initially with that question. But we got meth, we got heroin, there's still cocaine around, booze, probably to a lesser extent, tobacco, probably to a lesser extent. How do you see all these various drugs in Humboldt County in the interaction? And how can we help to, not necessarily control it, because I don't think it's controllable, but perhaps manage it a little bit better?
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I think there's a tendency to focus on marijuana and medical marijuana and not recognize all of the other things. You know, that we have huge alcohol problems in Humboldt County, and you know, meth is a huge problem. And with the marijuana culture, one of the things that, from the work I've done with law enforcement, both here and statewide task forces and other folks, has been helping to identify that we have really two different marijuana cultures. We have the people that come into this because, you know, that are focused on marijuana, medical or otherwise. And then we have the people that are primarily basically drug trafficking organizations. And drug trafficking organizations, it's not about marijuana, it's about whatever makes money. And so, you know, they will traffic in anything that that they can profit from. And that's a very different way of approaching it. And so I think that that's kind of one of the ways that we divide out the folks that are trying to be good players and the folks that really don't care.
Let's kind of move into a somewhat related area of questioning. What would you favor to help support economic development in Humboldt County?
To create jobs in Humboldt County, we've got to grow our economy. And to grow our economy, we have to bring in more money than we're shipping out of here. And so that means that the businesses that are going to do well, that are going to help grow our economy and grow our jobs, are going to be businesses that bring money in from the outside. They're going to have clients, customers, retailers, or distributors somewhere outside of Humboldt County. So the things we need to do to help them are, one, they need to stay connected. That means having safe, you know, secure, reliable broadband, which is why that was the number one economic development priority for the county, something I invested 3 years on working on, was able to get that project delivered back in December. And so that's, you know, priority number one, and I was able to get that done for the county. Two, they're going to have to be able to get in and out of here, because they're going to have to be able to meet face-to-face with their clients, with their distributors. They're going to have to go to trade shows. They're going to have to, you know, work with a lot of other people outside the area to sell their product and their services. And that means expanding our airport, getting additional service in here. And over the last few years, I've become acutely aware of the difficulties at our airport. We've focused on it in terms, and you and I have talked about this at times in the past, that I think we've had too much of focus on it as a piece of infrastructure and not as a customer service facility. And while we've done great improvements there, technically, we're way ahead of almost every other airport in the state in terms of the improvements that we've done there with the EMAS system, the engineered material arresting system. We've done some great things there, but the customer service has fallen off. And now we've seen, of course, the air service itself has fallen off. And so we have started, and I've been deeply involved in, a very aggressive recruitment process to recruit new air service, because they're not knocking at our door without that. So we've been going out through the county, our aviation division, and through REDEC, and I serve on both. We've been aggressively courting airlines, making the sale to them. We've modified our fee structure to make it more attractive. We've been able to come up with a program to waive fees for the first year. And now we've got, you know, we had until very recently, we had American Airlines looking at coming in here, and they just realized that they were trying to push things faster than could happen. Quite literally, they came in on a Tuesday and said, "Can you get us a contract Friday?" And, you know, that doesn't happen. But we worked as best as we could with them, and we're continuing to work to try to bring them in for April. Since things have cooled on there, other airlines have been watching that conversation, and they see that there's an opportunity here. So we're continuing to work aggressively, not just with American, but with a bunch of other airlines to do that. Beyond that, businesses have to be able to get their product in and out of here. And so that's why I have been a strong supporter of the Richardson Grove Alignment Project, even against some of my very best friends, who I think are just, you know, misguided on this issue. It's a very reasonable project. It is by far the smallest project that we could do to try to open up access versus putting in a four lane or doing something that would really qualify as blowing a hole through Richardson Grove. And we need to get that done to help our businesses reach their markets. And on a larger scale, we need to be able to get bulk product in and out of here. And I've been a strong supporter of short sea shipping, or the Marine Highway Program. I've advocated for that project to our senators in D.C., to Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, and to all the coastal counties in California, to make them aware of this project and to help it move forward.
Well, you sucked up all the time for that segment. Fine.
Hey, it's my interview, not yours.
That is true.
You're not running for anything, as best as I'm aware.
No,
so.
Just running away from. Not
Smart man.
Yeah. Our last area of question mark. If I had a handful of pixie dust, or if you did, and you could use that to address any one single issue in Humboldt County, what would the issue be, and what would the solution look like?
Well, I got to say, you start with a question about the drug culture, and then you want a handful of pixie dust. You know, I thought long and hard about, you know, that issue. And to me, I think the most important thing that I would really like to be able to address and to be able to change is rebuilding faith in government. And not just, you know, not just here. You know, we struggle under the same narrative, the same lack of faith in government, you know, at the national level and at the state level. And while there's, you know, more trust at the local level generally, we have to constantly be pushing to establish that this thing that was created by the founding fathers is valid and can actually get things done for people to make the world a better place and to make real positive difference in their lives. And so there's so much more to that than just occupying this position and going in on a Tuesday and voting things up or down. You know, it's a matter of really doing the hard work to show people that, you know, they can trust that we're working on their behalf and we're trying to make this a better place. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm up at 6 a.m., you know, checking email, and why I'm up until 2 a.m. checking email and working every, you know, minute, every hour in between. Because it's so important that people understand, you know, and that, or that people have faith in their government. And we realize that's been lost for valid reasons over many, many years.
Where do you sense, Mark, is the biggest area of mistrust for local government? Which would be the one, obviously, you deal with the easiest.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of places where we're just not, you know, demonstrating the work that we do on a good basis. But I think clearly we've had a lot of problems with concerns about the ability to get things done for land use and development issues. And, you know, I don't think as anyone wants to see Humboldt County turn into something dramatically different than what it is. We all live here because we think it's the most beautiful place on earth. But we also recognize that, you know, people that share those values and are trying to do what they really believe is the best thing in terms of how they develop their land or what they're building should be able to move their projects through. And so we've got to make sure that in the work that we're doing, that we're not stopping good projects from going forward. We want to help encourage the good stuff, you know, and not discourage it.
Thanks for coming by. Nice to see you again.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's good to see you after so many months.
We've been talking with Mark Lovelace.